Well, St. Mark's Gospel gives us the cliff note version of what happened to Jesus in the 40 days out in the desert. It's St. Matthew's Gospel that gives us the whole big story about the devil coming and the three temptations and so on. No, St. Mark always is kind of summarizing everything, no, just like cliff notes. But I think the overall theme here between this reading and the first two is the idea of what is a true conversion to be a child of God, and what is it about this baptism that makes us a new creation. The first reading was about Noah, right? And it's from the book of Genesis. And it's after the flood. And God goes and speaks to Noah and says, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And I will no longer send floods to devastate the earth. You know, and Noah and the eight members of his family and then the two by two animals. We're going to be the start of a new creation. Because, as you know, the whole world was so sinful before that, and so out of control, that God sent the rains and the floods to destroy the earth because it was beyond repair. But he saved Noah and his family and two of every animal for a new start, a new creation. You know, some guy came to me after the Mass last night complaining. He says, well, it says there that God's not going to destroy the earth with any more floods, but we have plenty of floods, and then global warming, and the oceans are rising, and all this. I said, well, no, he didn't say that there weren't ever going to be a flood. If it rains too much and the sewer system backs up, there'll be a flood, right? But he said he would never destroy the earth. No. Because all of this with Noah is pointing toward Christ. Right, toward that new baptism, that new creation, that new Garden of Eden. And so God makes it all over again. He starts over in a way. And that's a sign like what baptism does for us, right? You know, very often, I even do it, you know, when I'm explaining to kids what baptism is all about and confession and so on, I say, well, you know, you ever like go through a car wash, you know, and you get all the dirt washed off, you know. But then after a while, you know, you got to go back, right, and do it again. You know, you got to keep paying the guy at the car wash, you know, because it gets dirty again. Well, it's not the best analogy for baptism, really, because baptism does much more than just wash away the dirt. No, it makes us a new creation. Makes us into something that we were supposed to be, but we never really were. Children of God. Right? In the image of Jesus, the true Son of God. Right? Baptism goes deep into our soul. Right? A car wash can't get your soul. Right? No, a car wash can't fix your engine or replace your transmission. Those are the deeper issues in a car. You know, all it can do is get the dirt off the exterior, even a good detailing, right? All it does is clean the carpets and seats and get the junk out of all those little tight spaces, but it can't really remake us. So God's talking about a new creation, kind of a new way of being. And then St. Peter in that second reading touches on the same thing. No, in his own way, he's talking about that. He says, you know, God patiently waited in the days of Noah. And a few persons, eight in all, were saved through the water. This prefigured baptism, which saves you now. And it's an appeal to God for a true conscience, a clear conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus. Right? So, this baptism is to make us different, make us a new man in Christ, a new woman in Christ. Well, the gospel starts off with Jesus going out into the desert. But what happens in the gospel just before that? It's Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And what happens there? Once he comes out of the water, you hear the voice from heaven. And it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. listen to him. Right? So Jesus now, beginning his public life, he starts with baptism, and the Father declares him the beloved Son, because he will do exactly what the Father wants. Not like that first son, Adam, who was in paradise but turned away from God, did his own will. Now there's this new Adam, Jesus, the true Son. And he goes out into the desert right after his baptism. And as St. Matthew fills in what St. Mark didn't exactly tell us, he's put to temptation. And there are three temptations. The first one, he's starving, he's hungry after 40 days of fasting, and the devil says, well, turn this stone into a loaf of bread out here in the wilderness. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's a classic temptation. What? To comfort, to take it easy, satisfy yourself, have some fun, pleasure. Don't go so far and be a crazy with all this sacrifice. Right? Be good to yourself. You need a lot of self-care. Yeah, that's not the problem in our world. We've got plenty of self-care. That's pretty much what we're obsessed with, taking care of ourselves. What's the second temptation? He takes Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and says, throw yourself down. Well, it's kind of a dumb temptation. Who would do that? No, but the idea was the angels would come and catch him, right? And so he wouldn't even hurt his foot. Well, that's a temptation to show off, right? Be the big man, be popular. It'll be in the Jerusalem Post all over the place tomorrow morning. Right? You'll be famous. You'll do a spectacular miracle. What does Jesus do in all the miracles? He tells everybody to be quiet. Right? Don't spread it around. Don't make a big deal out of it. Shh. They don't pay any attention to him, but that's what he's trying. He's trying to be discreet. The devil's tempted him to show off. Go for the fame and the fortune. You only get your 15 minutes of fame. Milk it, right, for all it's worth. And then the last temptation. The devil takes him out and shows him all the kingdoms of the earth and says, these will be yours if you just bow down before me. And Jesus says, Scripture says you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone. Yeah, the devil promises us the world. Fame, power, fortune, money. And gosh, over and over again, we fall for all those different things, don't we? We fall for that temptation of pleasure and taking it easy. We spend so much of our time today in entertainment. Feeling good about ourselves. We look for fame. What a shame it was, no? This is not sour grapes. I was not a Chiefs fan at all. I was rooting against them. I was for the 49ers. But anybody who noticed that party that they had with your hero, Travis Kelce, drunk out of his mind, and the other players having to hold him up. No. Is that what fame is all about, so you can get plastered? Memo to Taylor Swift, be careful. You got an alcoholic for your boyfriend. No. And the last temptation, yeah, we fall into that. To worship Satan. It's worshiping the world and letting our values be formed by the world around us rather than the values of God. It's the idea that God has to adapt himself to us rather than us adapting to him, to his word, to his truth. And sadly, I really got to mention this. Most of you probably saw in the news about the desecration of the cathedral the other day, when very unfortunately somebody allowed a trans activist who's an atheist and a promoter of prostitution to have her funeral in St. Patrick's Cathedral. And 1,000 people showed up in drag and so on and desecrated the cathedral with calling out that she was the mother of whores proudly and so on and so forth, and mocking the Ave Maria. It was chaos, and they had to have a mass of reparation in the cathedral afterwards. And the people who organized it afterwards just mocked the cathedral and criticized the church. So if somebody was thinking that we'd score points for outreach, well, we were badly mistaken. But that's the spirit of the world that demands that God and the church conform to its values rather than us conforming to the word of God. Jesus is the true Son, the beloved Son. And we're the beloved sons and daughters of God too, if we obey God. If we align our values with his word and his teaching. And if, like Jesus, through the 40 days of trials, we're faithful to that God, then we become new men and new women in Christ. Then we become this new creation. And that's what our Lenten journey through the desert is all about. To obey God rather than men, to focus on heaven rather than this world, to give our obedience to God rather than making God obey us.